Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Thank you, Dave. We have some extra time this morning. And there are two needs represented in the room this morning. I think it'd be good for us to take a couple of minutes and pray for them one at a time. First of all, and I haven't asked permission to do this from Beverly, but Beverly's going through a really tough time. I think it'd be good for us to pray for Beverly. Father, thank you for Beverly Wood. Beverly's a sweet lady, but that's not why we're praying. Father, Beverly is hurting. I pray that you will heal Beverly.
Yes.
I pray that you will give her doctor's wisdom in knowing the right medications to give her so that she can feel like she needs to feel, like she wants to feel, so she can feel normal. Thank you for the, no doubt, the hundreds of prayers, maybe even thousands of prayers that Beverly has lifted up for us. I pray that you will give us a real sensitivity to what Beverly's going through, in spite of the fact that she's just sitting there quiet. Father, she's hurting. I pray that you will bless Beverly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
One of you other men, pray for Beverly right now. Let Beverly hear it. One of you other men. Dad, lead us in prayer for Beverly.
Father in heaven, I thank you and your divine providence you sent Beverly here with us. She has been a blessing to us ever since she's been here. Lord, I pray that thou would bless her, encourage her heart, help her to feel better in her body, heal her body for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Give me one more man. One more man to pray for Beverly, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being here today. Be with Beverly and the doctors discovered the right medicines. Heal her off so she can feel a lot better and keep her out of pain and suffering. And just be with her. And guide them doctors again to figure out what she needs. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. As her church family, will you commit with me to pray for Beverly Wood every day for the next 30 days? Will you do that? Raise your hand. Beverly, turn around and look at those hands. I want you to see those hands. These people are committed to praying for you every day for the next 30 days until the doctors get your medicine straight. Keep your promise to her.
Yes.
Keep your promise to her. If you've never had emotional difficulty, be thankful to God in heaven.
Amen.
And I mean that, okay? I understand a little bit of what Beverly goes through. I have been seeing a psychiatrist for the past 30 years this year, because I know exactly what it's like to be Beverly Wood. Maybe a little bit different in some areas, but it is no fun fighting a battle in your mind when everybody around you thinks that you're just being still. That is no fun. There is a second pressing need in the room right now, and that's DJ. DJ is facing an important day on Tuesday. Tuesday, right, DJ? On Tuesday. Okay? Why that's important to him is between him and the Lord. It's none of our business. Nonetheless, Tuesday could change DJ's life. In fact, I think that probably one way or the other, Tuesday's going to change DJ's life. DJ's going through some very, very stressful times right now, wondering what's going to happen on Tuesday. And I've talked to DJ about this on more than one occasion, but at the same time, anyone facing what DJ is facing, one way or the other, would be stressed. Let's pray for DJ. Father, I thank you for DJ. Lord, he's been faithful here. He's been a good friend. But that's not why we're lifting him up. Lord, DJ has a very, very uncertain future. I thank you that you are God. Number one, you know what that future is. You know what's going to happen on Tuesday. But Father, more than that, I thank you that you are God and you control what's going to happen on Tuesday. Thank you that whatever happens on Tuesday is from you. I thank you that you have the ability on Tuesday to do the exact opposite of what DJ wants. And you have the ability to put him in a position to where he can do things for you that he could not do were the decision not made. I thank you that in Scripture several people face the same thing that DJ is possibly facing, and they used it for you. I pray that you will give him a real confidence that regardless of what way it goes, he can be used by you. I'm not asking you for a certain result because you know what the best result is. You're God. You're going to give him the best result. If you didn't love him, you would not have sent your son to die on the cross. And Scripture says if you would go that far, there's no good thing you're going to hold back. And so we thank you for what you're going to do. Father, I pray that you'll bless DJ and give him confidence in you. Give him hope in you. Thank you for my friend DJ. I pray that you'll bless him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
What of you other men? Pray for DJ, please.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do pray for our brother. He is my brother in Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, he's got a problem, Lord. You lay your hand upon him. My dear Jesus is a creator. He's not a builder. He's a creator.
Amen.
Create things, Lord, that no man can even get in his mind how he can do it. But we do serve a living God. He is living. And he's on the right hand of my Father. Thank you, dear God, for DJ. He's a good man. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray for him. Pray for him every day until we get taken care of. And dear Heavenly Father, that'll give me a day to remember because I got a doctor's appointment that day too. And dear Heavenly Father, I do pray for him and I pray, dear God, everything comes out the way that Jesus wants it to. And we pray in our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. And be in this hour service to give you the praise, honor, and glory that you deserve in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dad, lead us, and we'll close with you.
Father in heaven, Lord, we pray for DJ. Encourage his heart. I recognize that Tuesday, he looks at it, it's kind of scary. And I pray for him, dear Father. You'll be glorified in his life and bless him. Draw him close to you, dear Father. Thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness here at this church for so long. I pray, dear Lord, that thou would continue to bless him. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As his church family, how many of you will commit with me? Pray for DJ every day until this is closed, this is clean. Will you? DJ, look around. They're going to pray for you every day until this is done. There is a good chance on Tuesday that they could just delay it. Okay? Imagine you're DJ. Pray for DJ. Pray for Beverly. God saw your hands. If you said you was going to do it, make a note. Don't let them down. I'm going to make a statement. I'm not going to ask a question. Okay? Prayer does not change things. God changes things.
Amen.
Okay? I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago, and they were very concerned that I and this church pray for a certain need. And I said, we will pray for your need. But let me ask you a question. I want you to imagine that your child had a need. You can make up the need, but I want you to imagine your child had a need. And you were approached by your child about this need. And then you turned around and said, I'll consider your need if 75 of your friends also ask me about your need. What kind of a parent would you be? I said, God is not the kind of God that has to be coerced. God is not the kind of God that has to have a certain number of likes on his account. God is going to do what is best. Scripture says that if he would send his son to the cross, what else is he going to hold back? There's nothing else he's going to hold back. So why then do we pray? And I asked the question, I said, why then do we pray? And they said, I don't know. Okay? How about the fact that we're told to? Well, that's a good reason. We're told to let our request be made known to God. I said, prayer changes me. Prayer makes me more sensitive to Beverly. Prayer makes me more sensitive to DJ. Prayer makes me more sensitive to Chuck. How many of y'all knew he had a doctor appointment on Tuesday? Okay? The rest of us didn't. Now we do. Prayer has real benefits. But prayer does not coerce God. And so I want to encourage you, as you pray for Beverly and as you pray for DJ, don't beg him to do a certain thing. Say, God, thank you for what you are doing. Thank you that I can trust you in this. And then ask him to help Beverly and help DJ have the same experience of gratitude instead of fear. That's what prayer will benefit. That's a wonderful, wonderful way to look at prayer. But please, keep both of these lifted up in prayer, not to coerce God, but to calm them. That's our main goal right there. Chronological study of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 13, we're going to pick up with verse 8. Proverbs 13, verse 8. The ransom of a man's life are his riches. How many of you, and don't raise your hand, because I got a feeling you'd lie. How many of you, if you were taken hostage, your family could come up with some sort of ransom to rescue you? I would bet all of us could. On some sort, okay? They may not come up with $500,000, but I would almost guarantee that each of us in this room, if given the right situation, our families could come up with a way to ransom us. Now, how can I say that so confidently? Because this is a real scam that's going on right now. People call and say that your nephew has been locked up and you haven't talked to your nephew in 20 years, so you don't know how to contact them to find out. And you just assume that they're telling you the truth. And you don't want to take the chance on the possibility that your nephew may get hurt. And so you'll send the $200 ransom. Happens all the time in this country. The ransom of a man's life are his riches. But notice the second part of this verse. But the poor heareth not rebuke. This is important, folks. There are problems that rich people face that poor people never will. There are problems that rich people face that poor people never will. There is a reason why rich people, particularly celebrities, there's a reason why they do so many drugs. There's a reason why they're addicted to alcohol. Because they experience problems as a rich person they do not experience as a poor person. Be thankful that we don't have those problems. You ever thank God that I'm not rich? You ought to. And this verse tells us that we ought to thank God I'm not rich. But at the same time, recognize that many of the problems we do have are because we are blessed. Back up to verse 7, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. Remember that from last week? There are things that we have, because God has blessed us, that we just assume that we're owed. For instance, last week I turned off the lights, and we used this little light in the back. What if we turned off the air conditioning? You want to do that?
No.
We've been richly, richly, richly blessed, yet we complain about the power bill. We've been richly, richly, richly blessed, but we complain about gas prices. Lamar left his house this morning at 6:15 to come to church. Y'all been richly blessed that you live so close to church. You prayed that God would make him a member? That ain't happening. He lives literally a 2-minute walk from his church. He ain't going nowhere. But if he was rich and lived in a mansion, he couldn't walk to church because they don't have mansions in Park Ridge neighborhood. There are blessings that we have. There are problems that we have, and we just take them all for granted. This verse makes it clear. Listen, you can have other problems if God allows you to have them. Verse 9, this is an important verse. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. Now, when I read that, wondering what I was going to do, how I was going to comment on that, I thought, the light rejoiceth. That just seems like an odd statement. So I looked the word up. The word actually means bright. Okay? So it would be grammatically correct to say, the bright of the righteous rejoiceth, and still come across with the same original meaning that Solomon wrote using the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Helping others see is what that means. My light, the light that I produce, helps others see, is what that's saying. The verse continues to say, but the lamp, now that's not the same word as light. It's a play on words, but it's not the same word. That word means dim. The dim of the wicked shall be put out. The bright of the righteous and the dim of the wicked. Both of them are what you would say something that could possibly help others see. People figure out if our advice is worth anything. Quickly, people figure out if our advice is worth anything. My light, my advice, my reputation, my guidance helps other people if I'm righteous. Now, what is the razor-thin line that divides righteous and wicked? Somebody tell me. Ray.
Seeking Jesus.
Seeking Jesus. That is the razor-thin line, okay? It's not about, am I lying or am I telling the absolute truth? It's not about, am I a horrible person or am I super, super good, okay? It's all of the in-between. Divided razor thin by, am I seeking Jesus? If I am seeking Jesus, I am a light that helps other people. I don't have to know everything. It helps a lot if I've got some knowledge. It gives me something to give. But at the very least, they can say, I need to seek Jesus for this answer. On the other hand, not seeking Jesus could have the best advice in the world. When it comes to Beverly, I could say, Beverly, you need such and such a medication and it will solve all your problems. Will that really solve all her problems? What if God is teaching Beverly how to help other people with the same problem that she has? By the way, I'm convinced that's why God allowed these type of problems to be rampant through my whole family. My family has helped so many people. Not bragging, but because we have had difficulty, we have been able to help people with difficulty, and a whole lot more than saying, take this pill or don't take that pill. That's not going to help anything. Should the doctor do that? Absolutely, a doctor should do that. But I would much rather be able to say, Beverly, you can trust God. I would rather say that to Beverly any day of the week.
Amen.
But if I didn't have the problem, Beverly would know that there's absolutely no way that he knows what he's talking about. If I had never had to seek God, Beverly would see right through it and say, well, he probably means well, but he doesn't understand what I'm going through. The light, the bright of the righteous rejoiceth. Who rejoices? Who rejoices? Okay? When I can be a help to Beverly, I rejoice. I rejoice. It is invaluable to me, and I wouldn't change a thing. It's invaluable to me to be able to say, this is how God helped me, and I promise you, He can do the exact same thing for you. On the other hand, the lamp, the dim of the wicked. Again, I'm not talking about the Hitlers of the world. I'm talking about the people that's not seeking Jesus. That's as far as it's got to go, is not seeking Jesus. Beverly, hope it works out for you. Okay? Does that make Beverly feel better? Maybe a little bit, because at least somebody's thought to say something. But does it really help Beverly? No. It's just a little flicker, kind of like the little light that still glows back there, by the way. You notice that thing is still working back there? Verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. Malik is experiencing some pride right now. He thinks that he can have this class instead of me, and he's going to get some contention from me if he continues to do it. Ain't you, Malik? Thank you. You watch him. He'll be quiet now. That pride just left him. Right? Give me a fist bump. No, he ain't have. No, sir, you called me out. Only by pride cometh contention. Prideful people think they know enough. Okay? Granted, Malik is a very poor example of this, but he thinks he don't need what I'm teaching right now. And so he's got other things on his mind. But you know what? There are a lot of people that are not in church this morning because they feel like I don't need that. I don't need that. And they have no idea that it's a result of pride. There's a lot of people that are saying, you know what, I wish he'd preach out of the New Testament. I've heard that lots and lots and lots. I wish he'd preach out of the New Testament. Why? They're prideful enough to think they don't need what's in the Old Testament. And I think that's a mistake. Yeah. God has given me a clear mandate on what I'm to preach week to week to week. And I don't ever, ever, ever do I have to say, God, I'm sorry for preaching what I preach. I know for a fact I'm preaching what He wants me to preach. If that is a problem for whoever's listening to me, whether in this room or on sermon audio, there's lots of other places you can go and you can get the New Testament. I got a feeling you'll be in the New Testament tonight, will you not? Yeah. Take that as a yes. Very good. All right, come back tonight. Well, that's Sunday night. Yeah, I got other things to do on Sunday night. Only by pride cometh contention. Just think it through. Okay? When I'm upset with somebody, I'm convinced I don't need what they have. They resist being taught.
True.
Okay? I don't ever want to be in a position where I refuse to be taught. I don't recommend this for you unless the Lord leads you to do it. Okay? For me, I love being taught by Jehovah's Witnesses. I love being taught by Mormons. I love being taught by Catholics. Number one, it's rare that any of them will. Most of the time, they're not interested in teaching. They're interested in telling you how wrong that you are and how right that they are. But to actually sit down and show you what they believe and why they believe it, I love that. You know why I love that? Because now they owe me the same courtesy and I can show them what I believe. This past week, I spoke to a guy, and I asked him, I said, what do you think about God? He says, I don't know. Which that told me a lot right there. I said, can I tell you what I think about God? He said, yeah, absolutely. And I told him how that I believed that God created this world. I said, I don't believe in science that says that an explosion created all this. I said, I've never seen an explosion create anything. Now, the reason I use that starting point is because he's a college student. And I know exactly what he believes about the creation of the world. And I then went on to say, I also believe that man has horribly let God down. God created man, and man has horribly let God down. I believe that God sent Jesus to rescue man from himself, and on the cross, he paid for the sins of anyone who would trust in him. I believe that one day we are all going to stand before God and answer for this life.
Yep.
And the defining difference is, did I seek Jesus or not? Now, I looked at him, I said, what you believe is between you and God. I said, but I want to encourage you to think about this. Just think about it. Now, at that point, I've given the Holy Spirit something he can use to work on that guy's life. Now, will he get saved or not? I don't know. And quite honestly, I'm not concerned about that. That's God's job. That's not my job. One plants, another waters. God gives the increase, okay? This past week, I did a little bit of watering. What if he just said, I don't want to hear it? Or if I had said, you know what? He don't need it. Or worst of all, I might mess up. Pride assumes that I am all I'm ever going to be, and that's enough. Pride brings contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. With the well-advised is wisdom. Never fight over ideas. When I got done talking, he did not get on his knees and ask the Lord into his heart. But then again, I didn't push him into it either. Okay? Trust me, I know how I can get anybody to say the sinner's prayer. That's the reason why I'm so against the sinner's prayer, is because it's so easy to manipulate people into saying words that now you declare them a Christian and now we're going to get you dunked. All right, I don't ever do that. I give the Holy Spirit something to work with, and the Holy Spirit can then take the job and add on to somebody else's work. Or add somebody else's work on to it. Never fight over ideas, especially in church. There are those nowadays that are so against the rapture, they'll fight. They will fight. Get fighting mad over the rapture. I mean, there was a time if you didn't believe in the rapture, you were the bad guy. Nowadays, if you do believe in the rapture, you're the bad guy. Okay, I submit to you, be ready for either way.
Amen.
Be ready for it. Okay? Then again, there are those who will fight over sovereign grace. Okay? I believe in sovereign grace. Sovereign grace gives me tremendous comfort. But if another person can't see it, should I force them to accept it? There are those that would. There are those that would say, because you won't believe exactly like I believe, I'm not going to fellowship with you. And I submit to you, they're better off. Think about that one. They're better off. Not you. They're better off. On the other hand, you give me a person who is willing to sit down and just, let's consider what you think. Now let's consider what I think. That's something that God can use. We're not going to fight over it, and if it gets to the point we're going to start fighting, we're going to back off from it, because it's not worth it. Fighting never changed anybody. Listen, note, We don't have to believe the idea to respect another person's effort in attaining it. What if it's global warming? I don't have to believe it, but I can respect why you do. What if it's Arminianism? How many of y'all know what Arminianism is? Okay? For the rest of you, let me clarify. Arminianism is the exact opposite of sovereign grace. Okay? It's the exact opposite. So everything that we would teach here, so far as God choosing who's going to be saved, God calling certain people to be saved, Arminian would totally reject that. They'd say, no, that's they'd call it heresy. They would use the word heresy. Okay? I can talk to an Arminian, and as long as he won't get mad at me, I promise you I won't get mad at him, because I respect the work he's done in gathering the idea. I respect the fact that he loves Jesus enough to talk about Jesus. Don't fight over ideas. With the well-advised is wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Seeking Jesus. Seeking Jesus. Verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Vanity here means emptiness. Okay? When I was a kid, they called this get-rich-quick schemes. Now, I'm curious. How many of you have ever sold Amway? Raise your hand. The rest of you are fortunate. I got suckered into selling Amway. How many of you have ever been involved in a wholesale buying club where you paid a certain amount of money up front and then you bought everything, including a car, for wholesale? Raise your hand. I'm glad you didn't. I did. How many of you have ever... there was one more that I've done. I can't remember what it was. I'm glad I can't remember. My memory is terrible, okay? But I have bought into these get-rich-quit schemes. Okay, if it worked for that guy, it can work for me too. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Get-rich-quit schemes can work. They can work, and I submit to you, in our lifetime, we've seen them work a lot. Okay? Mark Zuckerberg got rich quick. Okay? Who else? Steve Jobs got rich quick. Who else? Politicians get rich quick. Get-rich-quick schemes can work, but rarely last. Almost always in these schemes, they point to one or two successful people and say, you can be just like them. And then in the small little print, it says, results not typical. If you ever see the phrase, results not typical, run as far as you can get from it. That right there is a warning. Do not do this. It probably will not work. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. He that gathereth by labor shall increase. He that goes and gets a job and goes to that job every single day like he's supposed to, and keeps going to that job every single day like he's supposed to, and keeps going to that job every single day like he's supposed to, he that gathereth by labor shall increase. You want a guaranteed way to make money? Get a job. It's not that hard to figure out. The math works. Get a job and do the math, with one exception. One exception. If he doesn't waste it.
True.
Okay? There are those that will get a job and spend every penny as soon as they get it. That's not going to increase. Okay? Scripture gives us a lot more financial advice than just this. But if we're not going to take this step, the rest of it's not going to matter. You know what? If you don't have a regular income from a job, you're probably not going to have a tithe to tithe. Probably not going to happen. If you don't have a regular income from a job, you're probably not going to have money to give to other people. This is where it starts. But so many people like me want to jump in with both feet and get rich now. Now, why do they want to get rich now? So they can quit work. That's why they want to get rich. He that gathereth by labor, that does not say unless he is rich. We should gather by labor regardless of how much we have. Okay? I submit to you that even a retired person should gather by labor. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that he's going to be able to produce a big paycheck. Physically, he doesn't have the ability to do that level of work. However, there are things that a retired person, there are things that a rich person can do to be productive just so that they contribute something to society. And I submit to you, they should. Verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope is something we look forward to. Hope deferred is something we look forward to that seems to get farther away instead of closer. I want you to imagine being a kid and you're watching the calendar for Christmas. And Christmas gets closer and closer and closer and closer. And then suddenly they add a month and Christmas is now a month later. That's exactly what we're talking about. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. A big part of your problem is hope deferred. You don't know what the answer is. You pray about it. You say, God, please fix this. The doctors work on it. And then the answer doesn't come. Or worse, it gets worse. Hope deferred. DJ's been experiencing with his problem now for months. Just, it keeps getting pushed back. Pushed back. Pushed back. What happens to both of them makes the heart sick. That's why it's so important they know we are praying for them, because our public prayers, our public commitment gives them additional hope. Waiting is difficult, period. Even Jesus knows that waiting is difficult. I want you to imagine that you are back before your wedding day. How many of this room, you have never been married, right? You've never been married. Okay, so just DJ. Back before your wedding day. I want you to imagine that the day before your wedding day, they come to you and they say, sorry, you can't get married for another 365 days. You got to wait. And meanwhile, we're going to make sure that you don't cheat. And so now you got to wait a whole other year. And so you stick it out. You tough it out. You know she wants to be with you and you want to be with her. And finally, that next date comes up. The day before, finally going to get married. Then you find out, by the way, you got to wait another year. Can't be together. So you tough it out. You want to be together. You wait and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. And then it looks like, all right, finally it's going to happen. And then for whatever reason, it doesn't happen. Do you know who has experienced that for 2,000 years? Jesus himself. Scripture says Jesus doesn't know when he gets to be with us. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the Son, but the Father only. Jesus knows waiting is difficult. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And Beverly, Jesus knows exactly how it feels. DJ, Jesus knows exactly how it feels. I love being able to give that kind of hope, because what it does, it gives us strength in that wait. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Beverly, when you finally get balanced out like you need to be, you're going to enjoy it because you know what it feels like without it. DJ, when you finally get this taken care of, you're going to enjoy it because you know what it feels like. Jesus himself, when he finally gets to be with us, you say, why would he want to be with us? I don't know. I really don't know. But Jesus went to the cross so he could be with us. When he finally gets to be with us, imagine what that's going to be like, not only for us, but for him. What is the thing in your life that you've wanted more than anything else and you finally got it? What do you mean? What do you mean? Give me an example. You wanted this thing for so long and you finally got it. Anybody? I'm going to tell you what mine was. Mine was a go-kart. I wanted a go-kart so bad. To me, it just made sense because people paid money to ride go-karts. If I owned a go-kart, I could ride it for free. I finally got my go-kart when I was 24 years old. Okay, I was a little bit too big for it. But I ran that thing, and I ran that thing, and I ran that thing. It was so good. I finally got my go-kart. I still got a picture of that go-kart today. I wish I'd have thought about it. I put it up on the screen. You could see that go-kart, the very one that I finally got. When the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Folks, the wait makes it better. The wait makes it better. Especially when it comes to Jesus' return.
Amen.
Sometimes it feels like, Jesus, I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. I spoke to a lady this past Thursday. Her husband passed away a year ago. She misses him so bad. She says, why won't Jesus take me? You know what she does, how she spends her day? She's shut in her house. She can go from her chair and with help to the bathroom and then back to her chair. And then at night, they help her into her bed. And she'll stay there until they help her out of her bed the next morning. She feels like her life is absolutely a prison in that house. Why won't Jesus come and take me? Don't answer out loud, but how would you answer her? How would you answer her? I'm going to give you a hint. It's the exact same answer for why Jesus doesn't just magically make Beverly better. It's the same answer. It's the same answer as why DJ's problem continues to go and go and go. What if the situation gets worse? What if she's no longer able to be in her house? She has to go to a nursing home. What if she gets like Grandma King and she's twisted up like this in a nursing home? Yeah. Why won't Jesus come and get me? Jesus wants to be with us so much he went to the cross to pay for our sins and make us acceptable to God so he could be with us. He knows what that feels like. He knows how hard it is to wait. But Scripture says, for the joy that was set before him, when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Jesus gets to be with us, and it is worth it. Beverly, I promise you, one day you'll understand this the way God does, and you'll say, it was worth it. DJ, I promise you, one day you'll understand the way God does, and you'll say, it is worth it. The more difficult something is, the more joy it will produce. Let that sink in. The more difficult something is, the more joy it will produce. Now, there's several people in this room, you've had a problem that's been going on for a long time. In fact, I think a lot of us have just accepted that the problem is going to be there. It's just going to be there. You look at Tom and getting healed of prostate cancer and you think, that's great for Tom, what about me? Turn to him 167. I want you to see something that the Lord showed me that maybe will help. 167. This was Waldo Widden's favorite song. We talked about Waldo Widden in Sunday school this morning. Oh, I want to see him. As we journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without my thin, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Watch this. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Imagine what that's going to be like when we finally get to be with Him. But I want you now to imagine it's Jesus singing the song. Oh, He wants to see us. Change those words to, oh, He wants to see us. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, He wants to see us. Oh, He wants to see us. Look upon our face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. What you just sang is accurate. He wants to be with you more than you want to be with Him. Let's sing the third verse as it is written. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain height, and behold my Savior there leading in the fight, with the tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Father, thank You for the hope that's in Proverbs. Thank You that Proverbs has hope even for unsaved people if they will just do what they say. Father, thank You for loving me. I still don't get why You love me. But You decided to love me. You decided to send Jesus to the cross to pay for my sins. Thank You, Jesus, for paying for my sins. Thank You for making me acceptable to God. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for drawing me. Thank You for teaching me. Thank You for making me want to learn. Thank You for giving me hope. Thank You for the ability to give that hope to others. I pray that You will bless Beverly Wood right this minute. I pray that You'll bless DJ right this minute. thank you for the privilege of giving hope. I pray that you will drill it in deep to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.